Simon, son of John, do you love me? Amen. Good morning, Grace. So as you can see from the bulletin, Father Mike was to preach today. But this morning at 6:30 a.m., Mike woke up very sick with a fever. And if we have learned anything in the last 2 years, it is this: if you love people, stay home if you are sick. So thank you, Mike, for not being here. And I am sure that watching church will be a part of your get better fast plan. So don't worry, this is not going to be a long sermon. We are praying for you, and we do hope that you feel better soon. This morning, after having breakfast with our stewardship committee, thank you for that. This morning, we are having breakfast with the disciples. It seems they have finally found the courage to leave their upper rooms. It seems they have found the courage to leave, but upon leaving, it seems they are still unsure of what to do next. It seems they still doubt and are seeking certainty. Peter, poor Peter. I really love this disciple. Peter was known as Simon before he met Jesus. Before meeting Jesus, Simon was a Jewish fisherman, not particularly well-educated or a person of much influence in his community. Simon was a family man who fished for a living like his people had always done. Until he met Andrew, who had met Jesus and had left everything to follow him. And so Andrew brought Simon along to meet his teacher, Jesus. Upon meeting Jesus, Simon too is changed. And he then becomes known as Kepha, or in Greek, Petros, in English, Peter, all of which means rock. Rock, the chief cornerstone upon which the church will be built. Peter, the rock, becomes the foundation of the Church of Jesus' followers, for the Catholic Church, the first of all bishops, for us, the first in the line of succession of all priests. Peter, the guy who denies he was ever with Jesus to those in power, becomes the foundation of the church. This is a curious twist in the plot of our gospel. Why Simon Peter? Well, because Simon Peter was perhaps the most human of all the disciples. Why Simon Peter? Not because of who he was, but precisely because of who he chooses to become. So on this Sunday during Easter, Peter, it seems, has finally led the disciples out of their upper room and back out into the world. But where does he choose to go? Poor Peter. Poor disciples. A lot has happened to these people in the days and weeks and months before this moment. And while they finally leave their upper room, they still lack clarity about where it is they are called to go now. In his lack of clarity, Simon Peter does the only thing he knows to do. He takes the disciples back to the beach, back to the place where it all began, back to the way things used to be. Of course he does. I can relate. When things get confusing for me, I tend to want to return to normal, to go back to what I know I can do. And I think I am not alone in this. I think many of us have this human tendency to want things to go back to normal when everything seems chaotic and we are unsure of what to do next. So Peter here takes the disciples back to the beach and he says, "I am going fishing." Also, a very normal response when things are difficult. I'm out. I'm going fishing. If Peter lived now and he had a car, I am sure he would have that bumper sticker that says, "I would rather be fishing." The disciples are also scared and confused, and they say, "Okay, sure, we'll go with you." And so they do. They all pile in the boat and they go fishing. And I mean, side note here, but apparently Peter is naked. What is that about? I mean, honestly, I did not see that coming. But they fish, apparently naked, and they catch nothing. Nothing. That seems important. And when they turn back with nothing to show for their efforts, they see Jesus on the beach building a fire, ready to cook them some breakfast. I really love Jesus. I mean, there are so many ways he could have greeted them. After they've hidden away in the upper room, after they've denied him and then let him die on the cross, after he has returned to them in the upper room and they still doubt him, he could have met them there and given them a lecture or just a blank stare, expecting some explanation from them, like the parent of the child who comes back way after curfew. But Jesus, being Jesus, decides to meet them on the beach upon their failed fishing trip with a fire and some good advice. Jesus tells them, "Try fishing from the other side." And they take this advice from the stranger on the beach, and they come back onto the shore, this time with nets full of fish, 153 to be exact. And then they see clearly that this is Jesus. And he offers to cook them breakfast, to warm them with a fire, to teach them once again, even after death. What a perfect response to people you love. No matter what they've done, you just offer them some comfort, some food, some good advice. That, my friends, is love. You see, they are doing what they do because they don't know what else to do. They are going back to the way things used to be because they feel lost, alone, and scared. So once again, Jesus just shows up. Even after death, Jesus just shows up for them in their fear, in their isolation, and offers food, warmth, conversation. That is love. Simon, do you love me? In this moment, Jesus calls him Simon, not Peter, Simon, because he can tell that this man has backslid. Jesus can tell that this man named Kepha, Petros, Peter, is acting like Simon, the fisherman, not Peter, the disciple. So Jesus asks him the question that will get Simon to remember who he actually is now. Simon, do you love me? Jesus asks this question three times, the exact amount of times that Peter denied Jesus before the crucifixion. Simon, do you love me? Simon Peter may not know what he should do next, but this he does know. Of course, he says, "Of course I love you." And he does. I mean, who wouldn't love a teacher that shows up in your confusion and fear with a homemade breakfast and a warm fire? "Yes," Simon Peter says three times, "yes, Jesus, I love you." Then Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." Good advice. Folks, I said this would not be a long sermon. Maybe that's not so true. But I didn't say that only because I found out I was preaching like 2 hours ago, but because, y'all, it's really this simple. Jesus says, "If you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my sheep, tend my flock." Because Jesus says, "If you love me, follow me." When things get hard, when things are difficult and we are confused, Our impulse, like Peter's, is to go back to what we know we can do. We want to return to what is normal, to what feels comfortable, and that is okay. That makes sense. That's the human impulse. But the good news is that even when we do that, Jesus will show up. Jesus will show up with food and warmth and some good advice. Go feed my sheep. Feed, tend, and follow me. Jesus will show up and remind us we aren't going to catch anything. Our nets will be empty when we go back to the way things always have been, when we default and return to normal. Jesus will remind us that in life there are events that change everything. And after that, there is no normal. Simon is no longer Simon. Jesus reminds him of this with one question: do you love me? This question reminds Simon who he is now. Now he is Peter, the rock, steady and strong. Peter, who was chosen by Jesus to be this now. He was Simon before the event of Jesus, but that is over. He is Peter now. The rock, the foundation of the church. Things change, and change can be hard. But if we are to be successful in this work Jesus has called us to do, feed my sheep, tend my flock. If we are to be followers of Jesus, we too must be steady and strong. We must too remember who we are now. When we remember, things change, and we have the courage to change too, if we are to follow him. We are the church now, not the church of before, but the church now. In this moment, we are called to follow Jesus into the work Jesus calls us to do now, when nothing is normal, when nothing seems familiar, perhaps. But the call is the same. Feed my sheep. Tend my flock. That, my friends, is love. To feed and tend, to care for each other in this moment is the way of love. And that is the way of Jesus. In this moment, Peter, the rock, the foundation of the church, of what we are members of, he was reminded, powerful and simple, of what it is we are all called to do. Jesus shows up and prepares Peter for the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descends and the church is born. Do you love me? Yes, of course, Jesus, we love you. Then feed my sheep, tend my flock. Do you love me? Yes, of course, Jesus, we love you. Then follow me. The thing about following Jesus is this: we don't know, we can't know for certain where that call will take us. We can't know for certain anything about this disciple life. It's a life of risk and wonder, a life of adventure and joy, a life of sacrifice and blessing. We know that from Scripture. It's a life that requires of us great courage and bravery, great faith, and yes, great love. Do you love me? Yes, of course, Jesus, we love you. Then follow me. Amen.